The fifth edition of the 504 podcast. We're rolling on here, guys. It's been a big week with the NBA. The NBA finals coming up. We got the Denver Nuggets taking on the Miami Heat. How about that Boston choke job right there in game seven? Mike, what did you think about that?
You know, Boston had a lot of issues throughout the season, even though they had a great record in the regular season. Joe Mazzulla, a lot of questions regarding him as a coach. I think he got exposed a little bit in the playoffs with rotations and everything else, but he did coach a good past two games. I think he did save his job. I just think Boston lacked the mental toughness throughout the series and probably throughout this whole season. But it is interesting to see Miami, an eighth seed, go to play a number one seed in the finals. So we were just talking about last week, is Jimmy Butler somehow underrated? And ever since then, he just kind of, you know, I wouldn't say imploded because he did have decent games, but it didn't Caleb Martin, you know, these guys stepped their game up, but you know, Jimmy Butler definitely took a little bit of a slide, but he still made it. He's a winner. And I'm curious to see how it's going to go on. What'd you think, Zach?
Yeah, no, just kind of like piggyback off what you're saying. I do think Joe Mazzulla saved his job, but that Celtics coaching staff seems like it's about to have a lot of changes. Apparently three of their assistants are about to go follow Ime Udoka to Houston and get that going. So there's going to be a lot of change within the Celtics over the next couple of months. Who knows if they give Jaylen Brown that $300 million deal? They probably will. But I feel like we talked about that last week. As for the series as a whole, it was an awesome comeback by the Celtics. I mean, it was nice to see them play like to their full potential somewhat. But just that crumbling game seven was just absolutely horrific. I mean, Jason Tatum getting hurt on the freaking first play. That was awful. It set the tone for the rest of the game. He was playing, as I think he said, like a shell of himself. And then Jaylen Brown. Wow. Eight turnovers every time he went left.
Eight turnovers. That's what I was about to bring up.
He's reckless with the ball. He's so reckless.
He was awful. He has no handle. Corey, you have a better handle than him probably going left. I mean, it was just absolutely horrific just watching him play ball. It was horrible. But shout out to Miami Heat. Like Mike said, you know, eight seed going to the finals, playing a one seed. That's freaking crazy. That's my takeaway. I'm not even going to talk about the Nuggets. We already got to talk about the Nuggets.
Nuggets going to win in five. All right.
I said Nuggets in three, but yeah, I hear that too.
Nuggets in three.
So,
Jimmy, they're going to grind out one win in Miami, I think
it could be the first. Oh, no. You said in Miami? Gotcha.
Yeah. All right. So let me go on a little rant about Jaylen Brown. I gave him props last week. I gave him props. So I had a really good parlay going, right? Really good parlay. I had the Miami Heat money line. Check. Jimmy Butler, 20 points. Check. They got Jimmy like six rebounds. I was a check. Jaylen Brown had to get 20 points, and he was stuck at 19 the entire fourth quarter, and he couldn't get 1 point. Spade just jacking up threes, turning the ball over. You know what? I'm mad. I am mad at Jaylen Brown for that. 19 points, couldn't get to 20.
That's what I think. You're going to send him a letter? You're going to send him a very passionate letter, Corey?
It's embarrassing, dude.
No.
He doesn't care. You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I wish
he was got that $300 million. He's got that $300 million contract staring him at the face. I don't think he cares too much about that. Yeah. What does Boston have to do to get over the hump next year, Corey?
Nothing.
You trade for Damian Lillard.
I could think of three different things they have to do.
I think they were a championship team this year, and they just – Jason Tatum got hurt. They were a championship team last year. The NBA's got to get out of this. The NBA has to get out. Oh, my God, we didn't win a championship. What are we going to do? Let them learn. They're 26 years old, 25 years old. Let them learn how to win. Don't blow this. Don't become the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's the worst thing the Thunder ever did, was trade James Harden away and saying that they're too young. Guess what? In 3 years from now, they're not going to be too young, and you're going to split the team for what? They're fine. The Boston Celtics are fine. Let them learn and let them grow.
Let me piggyback off that.
Go ahead.
What you're saying is absolute facts. Like that's completely true. I saw like a thread saying like Giannis or whatever, all these guys didn't win their first title until they were like 27 or whatever. Like aging, experience, all this stuff is key factors. But dude, Joe Mazzulla was thrown into the fire when Udoka got fired. Like, guess what? He had no offseason to game plan. He knew nothing. He had no offseason to game plan. He was thrown into the fire, didn't know what he was doing. And now he has this entire year under his belt. I think, like you said, you give them next year another offseason to advance. You have Brogdon, you get him healthy. Brogdon wasn't even healthy. He was battling that forearm or whatever injury, wrist, whatever the hell it was, for the entire series. Like, that's a championship team. I jokingly say trade for Damian Lillard because they kind of need like a floor general point guard. But at the same time, not really. They have all the pieces. They have all the guys. Mazzulla has the experience now. It's a championship team. I completely agree with that.
Well, I was like, I'm not saying blow it up. I'm just saying like what tweaks. I mean, obviously they need some kind of head coach with prior his assistant coach with prior head coaching experience, whether
he's a vet.
Yeah, and he needs some kind of vet, whether like an Alvin Gentry type, just some guy who's been around the league who has head coaching experience. Yeah, one move, or they could trade Marcus Smart. I mean, there's a lot of tradable candidates. That's what I'm asking. I'm not saying like blow it up. I'm saying like what tweaks do they need to make? Because they're like right there at the cusp every single year, and they just can't get over it.
What? Well, I think that's just due to age too. I mean, it's hard to win a championship when you're 25 years old, 24 years old. But the one tweak is, I heard a couple interesting reports during that series that Jaylen Brown had to ask Marcus Smart to guard Jimmy Butler, right? That Marcus Smart has such a hold on this team, and he's a leader and he's a big part of that team. But I think that team needs to be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown's team, not Marcus Smart's team. That's the only
thing. I wonder what Marcus Smart's value is. I was about to
ask the exact same thing.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. I mean, he won defensive player of the year.
Yeah, but like what would be like a realistic return for his value? Like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. But all right, now we're still in the NBA. Corey, what's some ways to fix the NBA scheduling problem and load management and all that?
Go to 53 games, make each game more valuable. I think 82 games is ridiculous. You get 53 games, you kill back-to-backs, you play the same length of the season. And I like how the NBA was 2 years ago when they started in December. You get out of those months where there's football season and it all is basketball. What are people doing in June and July? They're having barbecues and there's absolutely nothing to watch. Baseball.
I'm not watching baseball, but yeah.
that's how I would fix that problem. Move the season back 53 games and more emphasis on awards, what they are doing with CJ McCollum, where you have to play a certain amount of games.
Zach?
I agree with that. I think cutting it back to what you say, 56 games is probably what I would say. Go to 56 games. Adam Silver talks so much about how he likes to or wants to start the season on Christmas Day. Start out there, work the season through there, go into the months of June and July, like you were saying. Cutting back-to-backs, back-to-backs would be just key because of all this load management crap that all these players are pulling right now. So I think
there's more strategy in the games and stuff. You can prepare for each game. Each game's more important. Yeah.
Completely agreed. 56 games, start at Christmas Day, eliminate back-to-backs, play through June and July, kind of all the way to the end. Ain't nobody watching baseball for the most part. And if anybody's listening to this, I'm sorry, but I'm not watching baseball. So Corey ain't watching baseball, and I know Mike's not either. So
I'm watching baseball. I bet on baseball. I make money off of baseball.
He's lying. So
I'm not lying. I watch
play it through June and July and just go from there.
See, I would take the opposite approach. Well, I would take what you guys are saying, extend the season. I would just extend the season 6 weeks and just eliminate all back-to-backs. I mean, I feel like it's pretty simple because, like, if you cut down the games to 53, that means you're going to be paying the players less. And players don't want to get paid less, less revenue coming in, everything else. So, like I said, if you start the season on Christmas Day, when do they start the season? Like mid-October, November-ish, somewhere around there? So start December, let football have their thing, let the football have their shine, and then, you know, extend the season out into the summer because there's literally nothing going on except baseball and all that. So I agree with that. Definitely extend that. But, yeah, just eliminate back-to-backs and extend the season, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months, and I think that would cut down a lot. I feel like players are going to rest regardless of how many games there are, like, but that's my opinion. But, you know, I doubt they'll do it anytime soon.
They're just not made the same anymore.
Did you see what
Aaron Nelson?
Oh yeah,
did you see Aaron Nelson?
Was he actually shake canned, or they just revamped it, like tweaked?
Well, I don't know, but he was the trainer of the year 2009. He helped revitalize Grant Hill's career, Shaq's career, Steve Nash's career. He came here, and it's been a disaster. I heard Zion doesn't even trust him. His players on the staff don't even trust him. The Pelicans were like 27th in terms of like most games missed the last couple of years. So that's a big storyline to me with this Pelicans is getting – they can get that figured out, they're fine. I think it's the players that they get more than the training staff.
Yeah, for the listeners, Aaron Nelson's the head trainer of the New Orleans Pelicans, and they just announced today they're revamping it. But did they confirm whether or not they're getting rid of him, or are they just, like, trying different things?
I don't know. Maybe –
it was just one report. It was just like Christian Clark, and that was the only thing I saw. So it was very like
Christian Clark's very good at his job.
You know, he is. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying like it was just it was kind of a vague report, like revamp. They didn't say anything specific to Aaron Nelson. They just said they're revamping it. I was like, okay, that can mean a lot of different things. So, Zach, you think that'll make a difference at all, or you think Zion needs to put down the chicken tenders?
I mean, I think Zion needs to put down the chicken tenders first and foremost. But honestly, I think all you can do. Jeez. I think all you can do is make this medical staff better. It's been a struggle. Saints and Pelicans. I mean, just as a whole, just improving every aspect of that would have benefited the Pelicans greatly. Yeah. But yeah.
Can we go back to Tulane instead of Ochsner?
Is that who it was before Ochsner?
Dude, I believe we were with Tulane, bro. We didn't have no injuries.
How long ago was that? How long ago was that?
It was like 2012, 2011.
Hmm.
So Saints were in their run doing Bounty Gate. With Tulane, man.
What a time.
And then Griffin came in, right before Zion, right? So,
yeah, 2019.
Yeah, that's I've heard that too from some people. They said Tulane, you had no problem. So, yeah, definitely something needs to be done. I'm just glad they're doing it now, sooner rather than later. So, now that we're on the Pelicans still. What do you guys do with Jackson Hayes this summer? Do you re-sign him or try and buy?
Meow.
Kick him to the curb. Meow. I'm so done with it. I completely agree. The Guangdong Tigers. Get him out. Get him out. I think Jackson Hayes, I think he has like the upside. You know, it's somebody who could be great. But I feel like the entire time he's with the Pelicans, and even if we give him money, whatever it is, long term, I think we're just going to sit back and say what he could be. Rather than what he actually is.
Dude,
and
you've been saying what he could be for 5 years. The dude hasn't developed.
Precisely what I'm saying. I feel like that's all we're going to be doing for Jackson Hayes for the rest of his career.
What? He's so talented, so raw, so lost. He gets lost defensively. He hasn't developed anything sustainable offensively in 5 years in the league. The only thing he can do is jump over every single player, which is great, which is entertaining. But I mean, he's the most unreliable player on that team.
Yeah, he's I think it's player. Just immaturity. He has all the tools. When you watch this guy, you're like, this dude could be like one of the best players in the league. Like if you watch it, if you just watch his highlight tape, if you go to YouTube and just type in Jackson Hayes highlights, and you had no context of anything of any play, and you just see him flying and shooting threes and blocking shots, you would think this guy is like better than Anthony Davis. But then you watch the game and you watch him get burned on guys cutting past him and everything else. And like you see him screwing around pregame and like Yeah, he's just an immature player, and I just wish the light bulb would turn on to where, like, he had the mentality of wanting to be great, and he'd be great.
Same thing for four straight off seasons.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Over and over again, expecting different results. Ni Hao, China.
Okay, the Pelicans, what do you do at center then? Because you guys talked about Valanciunas as a trade candidate. Billy Gomez ain't coming back, it seems like. Huh?
You should have listened to me last offseason. Should have listened to me in the trade deadline. I said Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba and Jonas Valanciunas would be perfect. Mo Bamba comes in the game, and you can block. He blocks shots, he can grab rebounds, and he can shoot if you want that versatile, quick center. And then Valanciunas, you still keep Valanciunas.
Mo Bamba's not that good, Corey.
I got hope.
I think you extend Valanciunas, and then you draft Derek Lively.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we'll talk about the draft down the line. But I think if you're trying to make an offseason move at the center position, you go for a versatile big like Derek Lively. And that's somebody that I've had on my radar for the last couple of weeks, too. Versatile guy, can step out, shoot the three, battle inside. I think you could complement Valanciunas really well and do really well in the offensive scheme that the Pelicans have.
Shout out to Mako Giordano. He put me on this guy. Daniel Gafford with the Washington Wizards. Very underrated player. Can do a lot of things. Versatile-wise, a little bit cheaper than Valanciunas.
Cheap contract is exactly what I was going to say.
I like Daniel Gafford a lot.
I do, too. I think he'd be the perfect backup to Valanciunas. But you got to trade for him. I wonder what that would be. Curious.
Jackson Hayes, say unlimited potential.
Boom. Bro, exactly.
Send him his highlights. Send Washington his highlights.
Send him a 30-minute dunking montage. Yeah.
Like, holy shit, this guy's an ex-Sean Kemp.
it would put asses in seats in Washington just because, he is electrifying when he is on, but my God.
I don't think Jackson Hayes moves that needle, Michael.
I think no, I'm not saying they're going to fill it up, but if someone sees, oh, we traded for Jackson Hayes, who's that? And they look up YouTube videos, they're going to be like, oh, this dude's good. And they'll be like, they'll go.
And then they're going to look at his stats and like, oh, this dude's ass.
This dude ain't good.
Yeah, probably. But who I'm excited about this offseason? EJ Liddell. I want to see if he's turned into anything. Because before the draft last year, he was supposed to go first round. He slipped us in the second round and obviously towards ACL. But curious to see if he can turn into something. That would be such a hidden gem if he can even turn into a decent role player, like a Grant Williams type player. But I'm really curious to see what he can turn into this summer league. Let's see if he can even warrant a roster spot. But you have any thoughts on that?
No.
I think he could become a solid role player if he gets healthy. I mean, he was solid at Ohio State. I thought it was a nice little addition last offseason, but once he got hurt, it kind of just turned everybody off. I mean, who knows?
I just don't know how he recovered from that injury. I need to watch him first and some of
I was excited about him before the season, and then obviously it sucks, but is what it is. All right, let's transfer to Saints. Probably keep it short and sweet today, but John Gruden, what do you think, Corey? Is he going to make any kind of difference in the progression of Derek Carr with the Saints?
Well, first of all, they didn't hire him or anything. He just came in for a day to kind of give insight on Derek Carr.
I thought it was a week. It was a day. I thought it was a week.
It was a couple of OTA practices, right? It was last week.
Specified what he's helping with, or just they said install?
Yeah, he's helping progressions and his best passes, his best plays, because Derek Carr's best seasons were under John Gruden, and obviously, half the fan base isn't happy with that, and then half the fan base is happy with that because Gruden is a solid offensive line, but he did send some dirty emails with some bad things to say, so. I don't know. I don't know if you hire him or not. I feel like Derek Carr has a lot of books out on him too. It's kind of like, what you get with Derek Carr. You don't need Gruden to come in and do that. I don't know. I just feel like the Saints are just trying to do their due diligence, right, with Derek Carr. with John Gruden just to make sure, you know, they get the most out of him. And I feel like that's all this is.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like you said, Derek Carr's best seasons were under John Gruden. So anything you can do to maximize his potential coming into 2023 is going to benefit the team greatly. So bring him in for a couple of days. I don't think it's the end of the world. Like Corey said, it's not like they hired him. So just bring him in, checking him out, getting Derek Carr acclimated to the new system, and just helping him out in that aspect. I think it's good. I think it's a good thing. I don't think it can do anything to hurt this this franchise.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even if it makes him 1% better, it's worth it. So, anything else Saints wise? It's kind of, I mean, no, OTAs.
We got to go to the big topics right now.
Yeah, right, you lead it off.
All right, big weekend. The Tulane Green Wave had the most losses ever, 40, to make an NCAA tournament. They went on a magical run. They won the American, a really good baseball league. You know, East Carolina's good. Houston's good. Wichita State's solid. Didn't make the tournament, but they're still solid. Tulane, really big week. Louisiana Lafayette made it a bowl game in football, men's basketball, softball, now baseball. They're going to Miami. LSU obviously makes it. Nichols makes it. Big, big season for the state of Louisiana. Four teams making it in this state is absolutely huge. First of all, Friday night we got Tulane first LSU. I think they're going to pitch Thatcher Hurd. I don't know about you, Zach. Who do you think they're going to pitch real quick?
Thatcher Hurd. I don't even know if they'd waste Ty Floyd's arm that day, to be honest with you. But
yeah, they go Thatcher. But here's the thing. Tulane played him a little close in midweek game. Tulane's going to be throwing their ace, who's second team. The rest of their pitchers suck. But Tulane's going to be throwing their ace, right? Tulane's bats are actually good. They are. Their bullpen, their pitching staff is probably the worst in the country. That's why they lost 40 games. Their pitching staff sucks. But their bats get hot. And somehow, that's a trap game.
Who would else you play if they beat Tulane? Like the winner of what?
Winner of Oregon State.
Oregon State and who?
Sam Houston.
LSU got a favorable draw, dude. Like if I'm honest, LSU, dude, the Kentucky region, that's why I want to give it the NCAA committed. Clemson was the number 4 seed. And what does Clemson get? They get Tennessee. And Kentucky gets Country Road out there in West Virginia and some BS team. Oh, they got Indiana. Indiana's not bad. Watch it. Indiana's really not bad, but I don't know, man.
LSU got a favorable draw. I mean, I think that Tulane matchup's going to be solid. You said that, like, their pitching staff's trash. I think Thatcher Hurd would be good. I think they'll probably rock with him. I don't even know if they'd waste Ty Floyd's arm, like I was saying before, but favorable draw. Sam Houston's not that good. Oregon State's solid, and there's history between LSU and Oregon State, so you never know what could happen there on that Saturday matchup, potentially. But, yeah, favorable draw. Even looking at that Lexington regional, a lot of dominoes could fall LSU's way when it comes to going to Omaha, I'll tell you that.
The Skeens pitch to the next game after Tulane, or they wait another game?
Yeah, he pitched Saturday.
And then you put Ty Floyd after that?
Sunday.
All right. What's y'all's predictions for that?
They should win.
They should handle business. I don't think you can look at it any other way. Handle business, win the regional, move on.
All right.
Yeah, I
agree. Let's go to LSU football. Zach, anything going on with recruiting or?
No, bro. We got to talk about 9 games. It's SEC spring game meetings.
The SEC meetings in Destin were this week too.
Yeah. It's us, the big talk. 8 or 9 games. What you got, Zach?
Why not go 9? I mean, everybody else is just saying rock with it. I am too. Why not? More money, more revenue, more competition. It's everything Brian Kelly wants when he came to the SEC in the first place. So he's always advocating for that. Play against Alabama every single year. Play against all these guys every year. Why not one up it and do it again and play 9? Why not?
I like how other conferences do it with the 9 games where you play. Like, if you go to college at LSU, you get to play at every single SEC stadium. That's how I would like it. You get to play everywhere. You don't – like, LSU, it's the first time I think that they're going to Missouri, right? Or second time? Missouri's been in a conference for, like, a 11 years now. That's ridiculous. When's the last time LSU went to Georgia?
I couldn't even tell you that, dude.
That's horrible.
I could tell you when Georgia went to LSU, but yeah, not vice versa, no.
It just provides a more versatile schedule, and it gives the opportunity for everybody in the SEC to play everybody, go through there. Like I said, more money, more TV deals, more everything, more competition. Why not? It's only a win-win.
And adding two more teams, eight games is just going to kill that. Eight games, you're stranglehold.
It's a really good point. Really good point.
When is that supposed to be determined?
It's this week. That was the big talk yesterday.
Is there a specific day, or is it just like open-ended?
They don't know what they're doing. They're just hanging out. Okay.
I gotcha. Zach, anything recruiting, or still kind of dead right now?
That'll be something to hit on next week. For the most part, just because this weekend does start official visitors, like Jeremiah McClellan, four-star, just dynamic wide receiver, is coming to town this weekend for his official visit. He'll go off to Ohio State after that. That's the team to beat. But getting him on campus as his first official visit is a good sign. But, yeah, official visit season has officially started. High-profile players are about to start making their way to Baton Rouge. Every weekend, next 4 or 5 weekends are going to be crucial and kind of just set the table for July, where we could see a lot of commitments unravel. It's what happened last year. July 4th was where they got 4 or 5 commitments in one day. So you can see this program try to set the table and do the exact same thing for July. But official visitors, big-time names, a lot of Louisiana prospects are kind of favoring towards LSU right now. So big next 30, 31-day stretch coming up.
Is it mostly 2024 kids or 25 kids coming in these next few
years? It's going to be mostly 2024 kids because they want to try to solidify that class. But developing relationships and getting those soon-to-be juniors is key as well. You'll see that happen in a big way. They've been making a lot of strides at the quarterback position in the 2025 class, dished out a couple of offers. Last week we talked about Antoine Hill Jr., and then they've offered Bryce Underwood as well. So a lot of guys on the recruiting trail making their way to Baton Rouge soon.
Anything in that court?
They're calling Baton Rouge.
Wait, what did you say?
They're calling Baton Rouge, man.
You're not lying.
I'm sorry.
Anything else y'all want to talk about?
Nope, that's about it, man.
All right, good deal.
Ladies and gentlemen, like into the 504 podcast. We got Michael Foray. We got Zach. We got myself. See you next week. Hold up, real quick. Stanley Cup predictions. I got the Golden Knights.
I'll take the Golden Knights, too, because I don't know anything about hockey.
I'll go Panthers just to fade you. So, yeah.
All right, see y'all next week.